Morning. What a blessing that we have able bodies to be gathered here today. If you think of all the sickness and things going on around us, and we think of the wars and rumors of wars, and we just have so much, don't we? So many blessings. So before I begin with my message, why don't we all kneel? And we'll have a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning with grateful and thankful heart. Thank you, Lord, again for bringing us together here. Thank you, Lord, for all the many different gifts we have. We just pray, Lord, that you can just help us as we journey through this life, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this day. I pray, Lord, that we'd be willing to open up our hearts this morning and receive that word. We know the word sharpened a two-edged sword. So I just pray, Lord, that we just open up our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint my tongue, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you fill us with the Holy Spirit here today. We know that's an enabling power, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'd be with us. Watch over us. I pray for the ones that can't be here today, Lord. Be with them and give them clear guidance and directions and a heart that is willing to receive your word also, Lord. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's been such a blessing to be here this morning and just hear of the word of God and those powerful songs. Like to fill you in a little bit what brought my message on today. And it's always a blessing to have a confirmation when you're studying, when you're preparing. And I really thought I had that confirmation this morning. But I titled my message, When the Cloud Tarried. And as you all know, we were planning to head for Texas-Mexico border here 1st of January. And it seems the door closed. And then I had to question myself, well, weren't we in the will of God? Were we in the will of God? Were we not in the will of God? Why are we not going? But I do believe we're in the will of God. And now I'm in the midst of making decisions about my job. I've been in the bakery for, 18 years, and thinking by the end of this year I may just quit my job. I don't know what the Lord has for me. I don't know if that's what we'll be doing or I'll be doing. So there's just a lot of decisions to make. But I think in the midst of all the things and struggles and in life, there's a time to just stop and rest, to see what the Lord really has for us. And as I was thinking of all these things, and then I started thinking about Brother Duane, and I started thinking about the Wharton family, and I started thinking about Simon and his sickness, and there's some others here that probably are going through trials and struggles and things in life we may not even know about. And I understand Linwood Hannah has struggles with some numbness and maybe different things going on in her life. And so Bethlehem has a lot of needs for prayer. And thinking of when the clouds tarried, I was so inspired this morning. I was on the bakery. I was praying and meditating and in the Word of God. And for I don't know how many years already, for years, a dear brother of mine from up in Holmes County, he has a group text. And every Sunday morning about 7 o'clock, we get a text, this group text. And it's always just some scripture verses. And as I was meditating and reading the Word of God and praying, I heard my phone go ding. Oh, that's text coming in from the brother. And my thought was, I wonder if this text has anything to do with clouds. And this is what the text was. Psalm 68, starting in verse 33. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that of a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God, his excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of the holy place, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. So I was just so encouraged with that. But to get into my message here, I'd like to turn to Acts. If we could turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to be talking a lot about the children of Israel and the cloud there and how the cloud worked and what the cloud represents. And so Acts here, I was just inspired with my reading Acts here and what happened with a cloud here and what will be happening with a cloud to come yet. But Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. This is when Jesus, he was taken up, it says, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus was taken up, and here a cloud received him, it says. And it says, when he had spoken of these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of sight. While they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus which you have taken up, it's taken up from you unto heaven, so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Are we looking forward to the day? Are we looking for that cloud when Jesus comes and he will appear again? So that was just a thought on a cloud here, what we're looking for as far as a cloud. But back to the struggles of life. You know, life is full of teachable moments. And I think sometimes we don't recognize or don't think of the opportunities that, or we fail to seize the moments. As life is full of teachable moments. And if we look at the children of Israel, and the test after test after test after test they went through. And I think God wanted to remind them of the great moments in their history. And so God provided teachable moments for the next generation. And we can see that if we turn to Exodus chapter 12, I believe it is, where it talks about the Passover. And if we think of that Passover, even the things that all happened, I think we're probably all familiar with the story. And I'm not going to go through all that. But if we think of all the things they were doing trying to get out of Egypt, they were trying to get released of that bondage, that slavery, and how every time Pharaoh would just harden his heart again. And then one day, we know how it went with the Passover there. So, after the Passover is what I'd like to talk about. Actually, I'm going to turn to Numbers chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up on the cloud, which is when the tabernacle was set up, we could say, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And as even there was upon the tabernacle, it was in the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. I don't really know how this all looked, but I have my own kind of visual thing how this was, how this cloud just just covered it by day and by fire by night. And I think it was very visible. And it was very real. I believe the people could feel the presence of God with a cloud over the tabernacle. This was a real thing to them. And then it goes on and says, and when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode from the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and the commandment of the Lord they pitched as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. So as long as the cloud abode above that tabernacle, they rested in their tent, it says. And when the clouds tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. They just stayed. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was then when the clouds abode from even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, when they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was for 2 days. Notice, it says for 2 days, or a month, or a year, a whole year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereupon, the children of Israel abode in their tents. They waited. And journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. As the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So when the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. So I believe their focus was on the cloud. I believe they get up and they look at the cloud. What is it? What is a cloud doing as they get up in the morning or whenever in their tent? So how many of us in here believe the story that I'm reading? How many of us believe the struggles that the children of Israel went through? I see a lot of hands. I believe we all believe this story. We believe this all happened. And so it's a blessing that we can believe the Word of God and we can take it even further. In fact, I believe it's in Ephesians where it says that it's given for an example or for better things to come. And we're in a time where we have better things to come than the cloud. And we'll get into that a little later maybe. Have we ever prayed, Lord, show me the way to go? Have we ever just prayed, Lord, just show me the way to go? Lord, just make the will clear to me today. Lord, you know, I just don't know which way to turn. And I believe we have some struggling brothers and sisters in here probably today. They're saying we just don't know which way to turn or which way to go or what is your will, Lord? And say, maybe some of us are in here and we're not having struggles right now. But I believe if the Lord doesn't return, our time is going to be coming too. As I look back at some of our struggles, it was a time of growing. It was a time of sanctification. It was a time of drawing together. It was a time of drawing closer to God. It was a time of spending more time in the Word of God. Maybe perhaps we're here today and we need direction. The question could be, what is essential? Should we or should we not? Is it the Lord's will or is it not His will? If I quit my job, what am I going to do for finances? How am I going to provide for my family, my wife? How shall we know all these answers? There's times where we may be able to just think, you know, wouldn't it be nice where there'd be just this visible pillar of cloud just giving us clear direction where to go. In other words, this morning I would have got up and I would have looked outside and I seen the cloud out there and I seen it slowly moving, and I would have told my wife, I says, we need to get ready, the cloud is moving. And we get ready and we go out in the van and we get in the van and we follow the cloud, and here we are in Bethlehem today. You know, we think sometimes that would be nice just to have a clear direction like that. But I think we have something better than that today. I really believe we have something better than that today. And we'll talk about that maybe a little later here. Let us consider the children of Israel as they turn it from Egypt. Let's turn, if we have our Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 13. Verse 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of the cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, so to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. It was always there. Now let's look at what the children of Israel experienced. And ask ourselves, have we ever experienced anything like this? Finally, they got released from the bondage of Egypt. They got delivered from Pharaoh, from that bondage, out of that slavery. And then what happens? Pharaoh is right behind them with his army. They're right up against the Red Sea. And Pharaoh is coming. Pharaoh and his whole army is right behind them. Delivery seems impossible. They have no place to go. There's nowhere to go. The army, Pharaoh is coming. The whole army is coming after them. The Red Sea in front of them. Here they were, and what happened? If we look at Exodus chapter 14, I don't think I'm going to take the time to read all this. But Pharaoh, here it tells us how Pharaoh hardened his heart again, and he says, Why did we let them leave? Let's get the chariots, let's get the horses, and let's go after them. And that's exactly what they did. And then what happened? I believe the people got discouraged. I believe the people forgot of all the other things that happened in their life before the Passover. And what had happened at the Passover, they forgot the power of God. And what God can do in their lives, I believe they really forgot. Now they were up against the Red Sea. The army, the enemy was behind them. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why did you take us away from Egypt? We weren't dead there. We didn't die there. Now you bring us out here to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dwelt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. At this time, after all the miracle after miracle after miracle they'd seen, at this time, they wanted to turn back. They were wanting to be back into Egypt. They were wanting to be back into slavery. They wanted to be back in that bondage again. And this is what Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Stand still. Stand still. Fear not. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen a day, you shall see them again no more forever. Forever. Isn't that how it works for us at times? I remember some deep, deep struggles. I remember when we were born again and I started preaching salvation and eternal life and that you can know that you can have eternal life. And we ended up, basically the whole church turned against us. The neighbors turned against us. No one wanted any part with us. Our friends turned against us. It was a hard, hard time. I look back, it was a blessing. And then other things come up in my life, and I'm like, Lord, how are we going to get through this? And I get discouraged, and I start murmuring, I start complaining, and I quit trusting in the Lord the way I should, because I forget of the things in the past, how the Lord delivered us out of that, and how it ended up being a tremendous blessing, and what the Lord did in our lives through all that. And then another thing comes up, not near as difficult, and yet we're struggling. We forget. We forget. And let's see what happened with the children of Israel. Moses said, fear not, stand still. I believe in our deep struggles and our trials, we got to just stop. Stop. Be still. And the Lord said unto Moses, therefore crieth thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Look at the miracle God's doing here. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get my honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon the horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon the chariots, and upon the horsemen. And the angel of the God went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went before them in the pillar of cloud, and went before their face, and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Here was this cloud. It said it was between the camp of Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, to the Egypt. It was dark to them, but it gave light by night to those, to that the ones came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And we know how it went. They could go through the sea with dried. It was dried up. God divided. There was a wall on each side. Wall of water. And here they could go through with dry feet. And when they were on the other side, I believe it says Moses held out his rod or hand. Rod, I believe. And the water, after the Egyptians come after them, and they all died. The wheels flew off. I was trying to imagine all that chaos. And they all died. Lord was watching out for them again. But I'd like to go back to this verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still. There's one of my favorite chapters, verses, a couple of verses here, is Deuteronomy chapter 20. There's four verses there, the first four I'd like to read. When thou goest out to the battle against thine enemy, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And then it goes on and says, and it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall reproach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. There's an escape route for us. Now, after they were through the Red Sea, it wasn't but a little time later, they were back to murmuring for food. I don't know how long it was, month and a half. I don't know how long it was. But I don't believe it was all that much longer. They were back, and they were murmuring for the need of food. It seems to me they forgot again the power of God. And here in Exodus chapter 16, and verse 9 and 10, "And Moses spoke unto Aaron, saying unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness." They looked towards the wilderness. And what did they see? "And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Now let's look at three aspects of the cloud. And what does the cloud represent? The cloud represents divine guidance and direction. It went before the children of Israel to lead them. You know, how did they know which direction to go when they left Egypt? And how could Moses show all these millions of people which direction to go? The pillar of the cloud and the pillar of the fire was made clear to all to see and to follow. The cloud was given to them for signal when to go and when to stay and for how long. They could be best at rest. Why? Because God was directing them. Cloud represents divine presence. The cloud of God present was there by day and night. It gave Moses and the people continual reassurance. The cloud represents protection. We look at the Red Sea. When they were at the Red Sea, God had an escape route for them. He protected them with a cloud which stood between them. It was between them and the enemy. The cloud gave divine protection. The cloud represents divine fellowship. God come down in a cloud and talked to Moses. You know, the people, I believe, sensed a fellowship with God. I believe they stood at the door tent, the tent of the door, and as the cloud was over the tabernacle, and they worshiped, they sensed the presence of God, and they worshiped. The cloud represents divine glory. While the children of Israel were murmuring and longing for Egypt, the cloud was still there, representing God's presence, guidance, and protection. Did they forget what it represented? Where's the cloud today? Let's keep in mind what the cloud represents: divine guidance, protection, glory, and fellowship. Where is the cloud today? The cloud is revealed through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe we have something better than the cloud today. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It dwells within our hearts. That Holy Spirit dwells within us if we are a child of God. And it will be present with us day and night. It doesn't matter what struggles we're going through or what difficulties we're going through. If we're a child of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit is with us. And if we turn to John chapter 14... John chapter 14, starting here in verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, said, ye shall give He shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it is seen in him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And we heard about that this morning through Brother Reuben. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That is how the Holy Spirit works. He is in our hearts. God can bring rest to us as we face the unknown, as we're going through trials and struggles. With the Holy Spirit, we can find divine guidance. In John 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John 16, verse 13. "How by whom he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, what he speak, he will show you things to come." If we're here and we're going through difficult times, I'm thinking of Brother Bob and his family back there. It seems there's one thing after another. And I want to just encourage us. Times we just have to stop and see what the will of the Lord is and just rest. And think of times where he has brought us through other difficulties and how it has all worked out. And we know the Spirit of truth will not mislead us or misguide us. The cloud is revealed through the written word. We are in the wilderness of life. But the word of God it gives us direction and instructions how to go. As we're in this wilderness of life. The cloud is also revealed in the church. We can find security in a church. There's divine protection in church. Church provides divine fellowship. And church represents divine glory. The clouds reveals through circumstances. Actually, I'm going to turn to John chapter 9. Verse 7. "And said unto him, Go wash in the pool Siloam, which is interpreted sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." So here we see the circumstance, in his circumstance, Jesus healed the man. See, we can rest when we see God leading us day by day through whatever he allows us to face. Now, how should we respond when the cloud tarries? When the cloud tarried, the children of Israel didn't move. They didn't travel. They stayed. They waited. And I believe the Holy Spirit there's times when he brings to mind a need in our Christian life where we just have to simply stop. Simply stop. Sometimes circumstances prevent goals and plans that we thought were according to the will of God from happening. We need to stop and rest. and see what the will of God is. When the cloud tarries, it is a call to worship. The setting of the tabernacle represents worship. And I believe it's a time that we can just stop and worship. It's a call, it's a time for worship. When the cloud tarries, let us draw nearer to God. You know, sometimes we may have just failed to give enough time to God. And He's going to bring things into our life just to stop us. When the cloud tarries, it's a call to be patient. And that can be a challenge on my part at times. Patience. Patience. You know, patience can really be tried when the cloud tarried. But if we simply keep on going, it's going to bring us trouble later on. We could also ask the question, how long will God tarry? And we don't know. But if we think of patience in James chapter 1, in verse 2, starting in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When the cloud tarries, it's a call to rest. You know, due to sudden unexpected things or changes or plans, sometimes we come unnerved, we come restless. We might say, what shall we do next? Or how do I know what the Lord's will really is? You know, we must find rest and cast all our cares upon the Lord. For He cares for us. So I was thinking, we need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. The children of Israel had to watch when the cloud moved. The call is to watch while we wait. So as I was meditating and praying, and I was thinking of Bethlehem here. And I was thinking of all the trials and struggles Brother Dwayne's been going through, and not just Dwayne, the family, Lois and the children with that. And thinking of Brother Bob and the whole situation there, and Brother Bob's probably feels one thing after another. And I was thinking about Brother Simon with his sickness last week, and maybe ongoing. And I was thinking of the Wharton family and the struggles they've been going through. And then I found out about Linwood Hannon and the situation they're going through. And it makes my struggle look very, very small to compare to these. But we're struggling, what is the will of the Lord for us at this time? Do we quit our job? Do I quit my job? If we're not going to Texas, Mexico border, what's the Lord have for us? I believe it's a time for us to rest and see, watch when that cloud moves. So with these thoughts, I was thinking maybe it'd be a time for just having some volunteers. And we'll spend the rest of the time in prayer for the ones that are struggling. So I thought I'd ask for volunteers for prayer, and And maybe we'll just have this mic, the ones that volunteer, we can come up and we can pray for those people. And I figured I'd maybe ask Brother John to close in the prayer then. So if we could have a volunteer for Brother Dwayne. Thank you, David. Bops, Brother Bops and his family. Thank you, Simon. The Warden family. Thank you. And Hannah, Linwood and Hannah. Thank you, David. And then if someone would pray for us, just that we could get clear guidance and direction. Any volunteer? Thank you. So if you brothers want to just come up and just step up to the mic and let's have a little time of prayer here for the ones that are struggling. That God just be with them and give them clear directions and guidance and that they don't get too discouraged. So just come on up. And then I ask Brother John to close in prayer.